Hello, Team Liquid.net netizens. We are back with the StarCraft II Beta Podcast. I am your host, Sean, Day9Plot, and we are joined today by Jinro, a.k.a. Frozen Arbiter from the Team Liquid.net forums. Say hello to everyone, Jinro.
Hello. I apologize in advance for any loud yawns.
Because didn't you just have, like, the sickest gaming session of your life?
Yeah, basically. Well, not. I've had worse. Back during the PG Tour days, but I started laddering around midnight after playing a bunch of practice games and went like 1-6 and decided I had to do something about that.
Yeah, dude.
So at around 8 a.m. I was finally up, 10-7.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, is that, like, losing is always the best motivator. Like, I mean, sometimes if I was just, like, won, like, 5-6 games in a row, I'm like, game's too easy, you know? I mean, I may as well just arbitrarily declare I'm the best player in the universe on the forums and just call it a day.
Yeah, let's ruin a good thing.
Yeah, because I've been practicing a bunch with you with, like, you know, hey, I'm going to try to do this insane warp gate strategy to see if you can hold it off. And we finally figured that out, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I got this amazing Terran vs. Protoss build. And then my friend Tristan, who I actually do the StarCraft 2 beta podcast with for the first three, he got back from Vegas because he was out of town for a very long time. And I was like, oh man, let's play some games. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I've been practicing all this time, I'm the best. And he just, like, got Dark Templar, and I had no detection and lost immediately. And I was just like, oh man. And then he, like,
beat me. So what build were you doing?
I was doing that nutty thing where, okay, so one barracks, Marauder. Okay, it's against Terran. So I do the standard sort of 10 depot, 12 racks, and then I do the 13 refinery. And, you know, I guess I should actually say this for anyone who's new to RTS, who's listening to this for the first time, anytime you hear me say 10 depot, that means in the top right corner, if my supply count says 10 of 11, then I build a depot. Or if it says 12 of whatever, I build a barracks. It's just the easy way to notate when to build things, since there's no in-game clock. But anyways,
it's all 10 supply depots.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, I remember the first time I heard that notation as a scrub, some guy's like, dude, I keep losing to 9 pool. And I'm like, excuse me, you don't need to build 9 spawning pools. And I mean, rather than assume that I misunderstood it, I assume that I completely understood it perfectly and that this guy was just an idiot. And it's like, 9 spawning pools, what a newbie. Here I am playing with one hand, you know, like, mouse only, maybe an APM, possibly 2 back then.
I can't remember if I used hotkeys before I, like, knew about this, competitive gaming stuff. I feel like I did, even for single player.
Oh, man. Like, I had no... I play on Battle.net for a long time with one hand. It's just like what you did. I thought it was so awesome. Anyways. So, the build I was doing, it was 10 depot, 12 barracks, 13 refinery. Just your standard sort of opening. Got the orbital command, got the tech lab, around 15. And then I make one Marauder and expand. And, okay, so this is the kooky thing that you and I practice. So then I...
Wait, is this TVP or TVT?
Terran vs. Protoss, oh, sorry. Okay. That is important. So I build one more Marauder, and then I lift that barracks and land it to make a reactor. Yeah, and then I make two more barracks. And what's nice is that right as I'm approaching the 27 supply count is when I lift that barracks to get the reactor. So I don't actually have to build another depot. My building command center acts as the next depot. So, I mean, it seems like I'm the smartest guy in the universe. The problem, though...
So,
what?
is this before the patch or after the patch?
This is after the patch. I mean, we practiced this before the patch, but, The big nerf that happened to the build was the concussive shells. So, I mean, any of you who are curious, we're definitely going to talk about the patch changes. But the concussive shells on the Marauder now are an upgrade. They don't come with the Marauders. And that's not the biggest deal in the world.
No, I don't think so either. Not for this build, at least. I mean, it's a bigger deal for other builds.
Yes, definitely.
But, any kind of pressure, any kind of aggression. But when you're sitting inside a bunker, it's not... That's important.
Okay, so I forgot the bunker, but, you know, anyways, okay, look, we're, these are all interesting factors that contributed to my inevitable loss to Tristan. But yeah, so, the idea behind this build is that you get two Marauders out early, because you can hold off almost anything that Protoss throws at you from one gate, and You need to start getting Marines, though, because there's a big threat of 3 or 4 warp gate pushes in Protoss vs. Terran. So I need to have Marines in the mix as well and have a bunch of units. If I try to build another barracks and then get the reactor, I don't quite get the Marines out in time. And if I just build 2 barracks without an add-on, then I don't really end up with enough Marines if he just keeps putting pressure on. So this build also allows me to get the Marauder out. Technically, I could do the Maro build and go, like, 1 barracks early expand.
And then you just die to Fast Colossus.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm trying to keep in mind those Fast Colossi because I do play on the US server.
And it seems they've sort of somewhat, like, come back in style after people... Like, I guess it's because people haven't been doing the Lucifron build as much. Because yeah. How easily it dies to for warp gate pressure. But I've seen people go really, really fast Colossi again.
Well, it's weird. I mean, people never sit in the middle road. People are never like, the Colossus is a potentially powerful but quite vulnerable unit in your unit mix. They're just like, Colossi are awesome and broken. And people are like, Colossi suck.
Get 10.
Yeah, and then now with the new patch, it's just like, you know, find something else to point a finger at.
You know what's annoying? Force do not use their anti-air attack when attacking Colossi. So they can never, ever, ever, ever catch them. They get outranged, They get sighted. You have to make tanks, and tanks are horrible.
That never occurred to me, that they shoot ground only.
It did not occur to me until today either. When someone used, like, 6 Colossi to kite, like, 8 Force, I'm like, ugh.
And
that's the sound I make when I want to choke somebody, by the way.
And the sound you make before a 12-hour gaming session, apparently. But also, like...
Well, it was actually towards the tail end of it.
By that time. Terribly sorry.
On, like, good win streak, so I was like, whatever. Just play another game.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, okay, so we're getting sidetracked. We need to talk more about how bad I am, okay? Let's return. Okay, so I'm feeling clever, right? I'm lifting the barracks around, moving them around. And also, this was the big thing. The reason I dislike the Maro build, and for any of you who are curious, the basic idea is get 1 barracks, no gas, expand, get 2 more barracks, and just pump Marines out, and then start gassing. The reason I dislike that build is because I don't get stim very fast, so I can't put pressure back on the Protoss. So, yeah. So I'm doing this, like, switcheroo, so I get 3 barracks up, 1 with Tech Lab, 1 with Reactor, 1 with nothing. But I actually scouted him going robotics facility. And I was like, whatever, the Immortal shouldn't come that fast. And it came really, really fast when I had 2 Marauders and 2 Marines.
Yeah, that's why you have to make a bunker as soon as...
I know.
Yeah, I learned this the hard way as well. Like, one of the first times I did this build. I'm like, yeah, I killed 1 Zealot, I killed 1 Stalker. I retreat to my base with 2 damaged Marauders. And there's a fucking Immortal at my door.
It's, like, yeah.
It's not supposed to be that fast. He's supposed to be scared, man. He's not supposed to walk out alone.
Yeah, it's dude, he's vulnerable. You need to wait until you're at like 100 food before you're allowed to attack me with him.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so that I had a little bit of trouble with. And then when I finally stabilized, I was like, counterattack! And he had 2 Zealots and 2 Immortals and held off this huge Marine Marauder force by like perfectly firing against my Marauders. So that was a little bit embarrassing. But then I sort of stabilized, and I was like, dude, I've been practicing with Jinro. And then he got 2 Dark Templar and killed 38 SCVs.
Ooh.
Yeah. And...
How?
Well, it's... What, okay.
How do you not notice it before that happened?
Okay, so I did. I noticed it. And because I'm all fast and shit, I select both SCVs and have them cross right through each other. And then they went to their respective... opposing mineral patches where the Dark Templar was still there and he just like killed them off. Because I'll try to get the main SCVs to move to the expansion and the expansion move to the main. And they'd join up in the middle and the 2 DTs would be there and I'd scan and kill it. So I was there in the middle, I scan and there weren't any Dark Templar and they just went back to the Dark Templar. Yes.
So you didn't get Ghost then?
No, and you know what? I think that's my mistake. And I'm curious, so if you see a robotics facility and you just throw down a Ghost Academy, do you get the Ghost in time?
I think so. And, like, even if you don't, I always make bunkers, so as long as I don't die instantly. I mean, seriously, bunkers are free. Just make as many bunkers as you want. They don't cost anything.
Well, see, I feel like that's only half true, Because, I mean, if you're trying to do a nicely timed early expand as Terran against Protoss, you if you make, like, two or three bunkers, it does get in the way of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't have the gas anyway, I think. Like, you don't have enough gas to get a bunch of tech.
Maybe if you're awful like me.
Well, I guess if you add a second gas very quickly, you have.
Yeah,
which I might have to do now because of the patch. I haven't actually done this build since the patch came. And before that, I always stayed on one gas a really long time.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I have this idea that I have no gas at all.
Well, one thing that I think is really interesting that I've seen a lot of players do lately is to get multiple geysers, mine just enough, and then completely pull everything out of gas.
Yeah, I do that.
Super impressed by Cole in the Cole versus Spell show match that I actually shoutcasted yesterday morning. Cole, like, he... Oh, yeah, and by the way, that'll be... For any of you wondering, that'll be up in my live stream on-demand folder at livestream.com/StriderDoom. Or I should articulate that. StriderDoom is the URL. I always just say it so fast, like, people know what I'm talking about. Like, it's a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 reference. But anyways...
Yeah, well, they should know what you're talking
about. Yeah, they
about.
Should, actually. Yeah, if you don't understand that reference and you're listening to this podcast, just, like, delete it from your iPod. And just walk and cluelessly
bump
into this.
Yeah, you're not cool enough for this.
I know, man. This is the Cool Kids Only podcast. A.K.A. a StarCraft 2 beta podcast.
Yeah. It's where the leech gather.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, alright. What were we talking about? We were talking about something. Oh, yeah.
About CP.
Yeah, Cole being a baller.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, okay, so Cole, so he gets two refineries, or excuse me, two extractors, he's Zerg. He gets two extractors very quickly. He gets 100 gas and then pulls all guys out of one of the geysers immediately and gets a super fast layer. And he does all this before getting a queen. So he just gets his layer tech up immediately. And he doesn't really have that many drones, but it's kind of awesome to see. Because the money he saved from the queen allows him to afford the layer. And I would assume that this would be a great way to get a very, very fast layer up and fast spire up, excuse me. And so I think that you could do the same thing with Terran, you know, just mine 100... excuse me, sorry. Oh my god, I gotta pause the podcast. I have a pizza that's just frying in the oven. Holy shit, we're pausing. One second. Alright, sorry for that intermission. I actually paused the podcast and we're back to recording. And I started a pizza before the podcast, and it's like, yeah, cook for 8 minutes, and we were at, like, 13 minutes, and I'd actually had it in there for 5 minutes before the podcast. So now I have a pizza that's pretty much gone thermonuclear. It's this giant brownish-black charred ball, so I have that to look forward to when we're done. But I was basically... I think I was just saying that what Cole did with, you know, throwing the guys in the gas.
It could be a nice move for Terran.
Yeah, because I was trying to do that in some of our practice games to try to get Stim very, very, very quickly. Instead, what I started to do is just to cut Marauders and make, like, two Marines to get the extra 50 minerals. But I still think that it could be, like, a really strong idea.
You could sort of segue from this into the Gretchov build. I don't know if it's his build, but I've only seen him do it. It's sort of in the same lane as delaying a queen for tech. He goes like 12 refinery, and this is Terran versus Terran, by the way. 12 refinery, 13 gas, and gets a factory before he even gets his orbital command. And it allows him to have a really, really, really fast banshee and a pretty fast expansion. And then he transitions into Marauders. I think it's really, really strong on almost all maps that have, like, a map where you can't secure an easy third. I think on a map like Central War, it would be quite weak, because a pure mech player can just slowly creep up the map, so there's, like, no point in the Marauders. But on maps like Metalopolis or Desert Oasis, it's great.
It disappoints
and
it me that he's
me not want to go pure mech anymore.
Well, it disappoints me that he's not transitioning into the Thor. Oh, God, I love the Thor.
Well, I think he got the Marauders because I got the four.
Oh.
But of course, four was the four battles that much cooler.
Well, you know, before we talk about more Terran versus Terran, we're already halfway into this podcast. We still haven't discussed the patch changes, so I just want to go ahead
let's go.
make certain we do that, because that has to be the biggest development that's been happening in StarCraft 2 lately. So,
yeah.
I mean, they've definitely helped the floor out.
I hate new Void Ray. Sorry to interrupt you. I hate new Void Ray. It's making my life a living hell.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. I mean,
I'm trying to mech, because they obviously buffed mech, so they obviously think you can mech.
Yeah.
But Void Rays are fucking ridiculous.
Wait, like, they actually nerfed them a little bit. I guess they changed the base
they
damage.
They are stupidly good. They're much better with Marines now, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Yeah. Instead of doing two base damage,
so you
do
have
five.
So they basically... It's a lot less easy to just get a few Marines and be safe. And of course, they're not doing every map, but unlike the Stasis, you can't stop them from killing your guys. If you don't have Vikings, who the hell has a Viking that early, right? If you go one factory command center or something, nobody has Vikings. If you have Vikings, you die to Immortals. So, basically, until you have Vikings, they can kill your gas over and over again.
Okay, now hold on. What about on that map, doing what you were trying on Lost Temple, where you open one barracks, get two Marauders, then you expand... could even do it after zero Marauders on Desert Oasis.
How are you going to do that on this map? If it goes a Warp Gate push, you have like this really awkward... You'd almost have to get a Planetary Fortress, because...
That sounds awesome! Yeah, so, I mean, like, what you were doing was getting the Ghost from the, getting a Ghost from the Barracks, and you got tanks without Siege, so you would EMP...
Oh, you mean that build? I thought you meant... Actually, that build dies to Marauders. To Void Rays. It just dies.
Really?
All you have is a Ghost. Yeah. I've switched to going for a Reactor so I can pump Marines constantly. And then I go for a later Ghost. Like, if you go for the two Marauders and then Ghost and Tank opening, you have, like, one Ghost and maybe a couple of turrets. And a Ghost can't even outrun the Void Rays. It just dies. The Ghost isn't worth anything.
What about the Sniper round for the Ghost?
You can only use it on biological targets.
Oh, are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you could use it on Observers, it would be awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Well, then again, you sort of one-shot them. EMP and one-shot them, they die.
You know, that's one of the things that always interests me about any time there's a patch change. People just make the unit that had any change done do it. You know, it doesn't matter if it was good or bad. They're just like, oh yeah, the Void Ray. Yeah, let's make some of those. And now costs more, has less armor, and they can just still crush.
I don't know if they are like imbalanced or anything, but they are really annoying to deal with. I mean, when I say they make my life a living hell, I don't mean that. Oh, I die terribly to them and I can't do anything to counter them. I mean they annoy the shit out of me, sort of like Dark Templars in StarCraft 1.
Well, you play Protoss. How's that possible?
I've played a lot of Terran vs. Protoss.
I guess that's true.
But yeah, I hate PvP.
Yeah. So also in the Void Ray, I guess I would say I like that the armor value is a little lower. It makes it a little better to deal with, you know, if you have just Queens or Hydralisks or something like that.
It actually beats a Queen really easily now. Watch the replay, it has like barely goes into Jello life or something.
God, are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that a Void Ray crushed a Queen pretty easily beforehand, but is it even worse now?
Well, I don't play PvC, so maybe it's the same, actually, but it looked worse. I thought one Queen would bring the Void Ray into red before.
Yeah, I think the Void Ray has a pretty easy time with the Queen. I think two Queens can barely take out a Void Ray, like, pre-patch 8.
Are you sure? I was almost sure that one Queen... Oh, well, I don't play enough.
Excuse me, I'm a random player.
So he had a Void Ray got buffed, and maybe it didn't even get buffed. But it seemed buffed because people are using it now all the time.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always
fun. Suddenly really strong.
So I want to actually move on to the Zerg changes on the Roach. So the burrow speed was dropped from 2 to 1.4, which I think I'm sort of fine with. I think that just helps out with a lot of Zerg versus Zerg antics, where you end up with one player having this burrow roach push, and the other player just having regular non-speed roaches with an overseer, and you, like, can't catch up. the burrowed roaches just move a little bit too fast, and I'm sort of fine with that. I like the idea...
But
What?
It's sort of annoying that they keep nerfing all the cloak abilities, so to speak.
Oh, that's an interesting way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, they've consistently made borrowed movement slower with each patch, basically. And they made the Dark Templar more expensive. They made the Mothership worse. The only cloaked unit that's been buffed, I think, is the Banshee.
And oh my god, has it been buffed? Jesus.
Yeah, bastard unit.
And you know, that's... God, that's one of those units that just, like, ruins my day. And I'll actually come back to that so I can describe the day on which that actually happened. But, like, the changes to Zerg dropping the Roach armor from 2 to 1 and dropping the Hydralisk by 10 hit points, I mean, to me that basically sounds like they nerfed Idra. Because in every matchup, he's just, like, Roach Hydra, you know, and... I guess this means that players are going to have to steer away from that style to do more to, like, Mutazergling Baneling.
Or Mass Infestors, like the little one.
Oh, man, the little one. He is just a sexy beast, isn't he?
Yeah, especially his Zerg. I really like his Infestor play. But I feel a little bit bad for the Zerg. I mean, I don't know if...
God, you feel really bad. You can't even collect your words. It's just you sound so sad.
Yeah, basically that's it. No, but I don't know. It seems like a bit of a harsh nerf. Didn't get anything in compensation.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I want stronger Zerglings. I just don't use Zerglings, like, ever.
At least stronger Hive Zerglings, I guess.
Yeah, something like that, you know, or maybe gently increasing the attack rate a little bit, because, I mean, in Protoss versus Zerg,
maybe giving the Lurker back.
Yeah, just throwing a Lurker in there, I think, would even things up a bit.
they are one short, I think.
Well, they do have the Lurker in the StarCraft II Pro mod, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But what I do love about the Roach armor being dropped by one is suddenly Zerglings are way huge in that matchup. Like before,
the CVCs?
Yeah, and the Zerg versus Zergs. It was before Zerglings did 3 damage to a Roach, and now they do 4, which is such a huge increase. Well, that's like a 33% boost. It's so helpful. Because, I mean, a lot of players were pre-patch 8 experimenting with mass Zerglings against Roaches.
With the upgrade, right?
Yeah, like, definitely with speed. Some even trying to rush with a +1 attack upgrade. But trying to be very, very, very aggressive. Because if the Roach pack gets too big, the Zerglings can't surround it as easily. So what I love about this is that I feel like it encourages that even more. Instead of just this, oh, you know, I had 20 Zerglings and I was doing good until he got 5 Roaches. And then I lost everything, and one of his Roaches was yellow, and then he killed me. Because I've actually played probably 4 or 5 Zerg versus Zergs, where one of the player opened Zerglings and went into Mutalisks. But he was doing it off one hatch, and was mainly just getting the Zerglings to get Mutalisks. Mm. And then he gets the Mutalisks, I have no anti-air, and I'm like, whatever. And I just attack with everything, and win so one-sidedly. Because the Roaches had so much armor, so the Mutalisks and the Zerglings, I think, got such a... huge boost in Zerg versus Zerg there.
So, what about the Spinecrawler boosts? Have they changed CVC anything?
I mean, I...
Actually, they're not even better versus Roaches, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're the same versus Roaches, which is the big thing. And, right. I mean, they still 2-hit Zerglings. To be honest, I wasn't even making Spinecrawlers at any point in that matchup. I mean...
I guess you still can't afford to lose drones.
And, yeah, and excuse me, and plus, like, Zerglings are better. You know, if I'm gonna be oh, sorry, that pizza I haven't eaten yet is getting caught in my throat. But I mean I would just make units instead of a spine crawler. I feel like that spine crawler is just like the fast ticket to lose. You know, your opponent sees it and he's just like, oh cool, I guess I'll make some drones, since he doesn't want to attack me at any point.
So have you gotten a chance to use any offensive spine crawlers?
No, I did see... I saw a game between Aureli and another player, where Aureli got, like, offensive spine crawler pushed early on. I think he got, like, 5 or 6 pooled. Or, you know, no, not 5 pooled. So he killed off one of his starting workers, and then he made a pool. Sorry, a little bit of StarCraft 1 came out inside me. But I'm very curious about this Hydralisk life decrease from 90 to 80.
Yeah, now you don't even have to get 1 plus for your force to one-shot them.
I thought the Thors could one-shot... Oh, no, because the instant you shoot them, they heal 1 life. That's why.
Don't they have 1 armor default?
Huh, no, they're 0 armor units.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's probably why then, the regeneration, because the Thor is shooting, like, bam-bam.
Yeah, so they have a chance to heal 1 life in between there. I'm actually just going to briefly double check that, because I would never, ever want to lie on air. Hydralisk looks like it has an armor of 0. So that's
all the same effect.
Yeah. Potato, potato. I'm curious what else it, like, really affects. I mean, obviously it's just like a general sort of thing, because, I mean, well, personally...
How about with this process?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Oh, man, that hurts. Oh.
Is that 1 less hit?
After upgrades. It makes the upgrades way more important against the Hydralisks, because Colossi get +4 attack per upgrade. So they originally are doing 40. So they would go 40 and then 80 and then 120. And then with the upgrade, they would go 44, 88. So that means that... Hydralisk still stayed alive after 3 shots, but if you get a +1 upgrade and get some Kaloxin, and you just, like, rush in there, you can do serious hurt. That never occurred to me until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I've heard from some people that CVP is not fun right now for the Zerg. Like, it was already hard, and now it's just harder.
Why was it so hard? Just because the warp gates into Immortals, into Colossus, meant that Zerg always had pressure on?
I don't know exactly, because I don't play either race. I just heard from players that, you know, it's an easy matchup for Protoss right now.
Well, I mean, I feel like, so there's 2 kinds of easy, and I think people confuse them a lot. There's easy as in the matchup literally does not have good options for one of the races, you know? It's like if I played StarCraft against a 4-year-old girl with no thumbs. You know, it would be easy in that sense. There would be no way that she could win. But then there's, like, easy in terms of execution.
Like playing PvT compared to playing TVZ.
In StarCraft 1?
Yeah.
I think PvT is pretty tough. But I mean,
yeah, well, it's tough, more or less. But it's really the easiest matchup to learn. Like,
yeah. I think the
fundamentals. I don't like all these comments about how Protoss is way too easy to play, how it's the dumb race. I don't think it is. Not to that extent, anyway.
Yeah, but definitely, like, for a D-minus player to just get the fundamentals down in the matchup. Yeah, absolutely.
PvT and PvP are the...
Uh-oh. Oh, wait, sorry. It looks like you cut out there for a second. Could you say that one more time?
Oh, PvP and PvT are the easiest matchups to learn.
Yeah.
Like, well... I mean, you just need to look at the percentage of good PvT players compared to the percentage of good PvC players. It's always been much higher for PvG, even though the matchup is not exactly in balance. It's just easier to get somewhat proficient at it.
Yeah, because I mean, like, in Protoss versus Terran in Brood War, I mean, you pretty much open at, like, the D-minus level to be able to defeat players at your skill range. All you really had to do was open up with Dragoons, with Observers in range, and then transition into Speed Zealots. And then eventually, way down the road, you could maybe do something else, but Dragoon Zealot with expanding was the core of the gameplay. And that didn't mean that it was imbalanced. You know, it's just easy to execute. And that's the state
it's
I think
easier
that...
to use than unseaging tanks, planting turrets, and spamming mines.
Yeah. And I mean, like, in Protoss vs. Zerg in StarCraft 2, the Protoss has, I think, a very clear transition path to go along. He opens warp gates. He gets the robotics facility for Immortals. The robotics facility is going to be useful aside from the Immortals, because he can actually get Observers there, which he wants to get. And then, oh my goodness, he's getting more Zerglings and Hydralisks. Okay, so I just get a support bay. My robotics facility is still being used. It's not this ugly, out-of-the-way structure that he has to get for a sole purpose and then try to seamlessly integrate into his build. It's like every building that Protoss is making is getting used start to finish.
And even if he makes a Stargate, he still has the same scouting ability.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Stargate openings are quite popular as well. And but you still get the full recon.
Yeah, or you get the Void Ray and win immediately.
Yeah, or that. that also works.
What was the other one? Oh, yeah, but I mean, from the Zerg point of view, I feel like a lot of Zergs are still in this forward tech mind. I feel like no one is considered back-teching, because, you know, in Brood War, a lot of players would rush up to Mutalisks, rush up to Lurkers, and then they would back-tech to Hydralisks and get, like, a big tier one army.
Are you going to back-tech to Roaches?
Yeah, that's actually what I've been doing. I actually go straight for the Hydralisks, and then I back up and I get Roaches, or back up and get some other unit. I mean, now that the Roaches have been nerfed, it's not that I don't want to build the Roaches, it's that I'm trying to get all creative and I want to go mass Baneling and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like that idea of moving forward to the Hydralisks and then coming back as like a nice standard, because Hydralisks annihilate gateway units, like, so well. Like, Zealots and Sentries have been no issue at all for me to deal with. And the Immortal is, I mean, even against non-armored units, it's still an awesome unit. It does 20 damage a shot and shoots pretty fast. But still, Hydralisks deal with that a lot more easily. And I feel like players are still in Roach City just because they're so strong.
Yeah. But it's interesting when you say, oh, I backtech to Roaches or Banelings or something. It's like there's not a whole lot of... Like, backteching to Hydras in StarCraft 1 seems a lot more versatile than backteching to Roaches in StarCraft 2.
Really? I disagree with that assessment.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they don't... I mean, Hydralisks were a pretty awesome unit in StarCraft 1, so I don't want to.
They're quite cheap, and they can fulfill more than one pose.
Yeah, and I don't want to dishonor them by any means. But I think what's really nice, like what I've been doing on Temple, for instance, is teching to the Hydralisks very quickly. Helps me deal with any sort of early push. If he's not doing an early push, or after the push dies, I kill off the rocks at the Gold Expo, take that, and then I build two queens immediately, get the Roach Warren, and then I have three hatches, three queens, and a gold mineral patch. And because the Roaches are just a very muscular unit, it allows me to get this solid, big army very, very, very quickly. And I've stayed alive at this point because I have the Hydralisks so fast. I don't lose to Void Rays or anything like that. No offense or anything. But
I don't lose to the Void Race. They just soften me up, and then I die to something else.
But yeah, but see, I like that. I like what I'm describing. Hydros then coming back to Roaches. Yeah, they don't have
diverse. Yeah, actually sounds good now that you like lay it out.
Because it's the macro part that really is just like, oh, awesome. Because that's one thing that's great about Roaches is that if you have a decent economy, you can support two hashes with two queens, because if you're trying to mass Hydralisks, you can't quite support that level of army.
I see. Because they also force you to make a lot more overlords, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, aside from being costlier, they also have like an overlord tax.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's the sort of stuff I. That's what makes me feel like Zerg's Protoss still has a lot more interesting stuff. People are doing too much forward teching, like speed Zerglings. Mm-hmm. And then into Roaches, and then into a layer, and then upgrading the Roaches at the layer, and then getting the Hydralisks.
I think at least some of the objections raised are not so much about like the early game, more about how Zerg has a very little... They have nowhere to go once they get up the tech tree. They don't have anything interesting to make. They just have to continue making Hydras and Roaches, basically.
I see.
And then the Protoss has like a mass Templar army or a mass Lausus army, and it's like not a fair match.
Yeah, I do feel like the Banelings and the Zerglings don't really have a place in the later stages of the game, largely because of the force field. Because I mean, I was watching the EG stream not long ago, and I don't know who was playing, but there was a Protoss with like three or four Colossi, and probably like 8 sentries and 3 or 4 zealots. Not a huge army. And the Zerg came in with like 50 banelings, and I was like, see ya, Protoss. And then the Protoss threw down this beautiful wall of force fields and crushed everything immediately, and it was just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, that, I was talking to the little one about PVC earlier, and he talked about this game he'd play. He had 200 supply of Hydra, Roach, you know, all the stuff, versus 150 supply of Settler, Templar, Immortal. After the fight, he had 70 supply, and the Protoss had 180.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he meant to say the Protoss started with 180 and had 150 afterwards, because I can't see how the Protoss would gain that much, but...
He just, like, doubled his food in a battle.
Yeah, it seems unreasonable, but I guess it could have been, like, complete meltdown of force feeds and Psy Storm, I don't know.
Yeah, even if it's a tall tale, I mean, it still thinks it highlights the point that, you know, the Hydralis Roach is, like, strong, and I would like more variety thrown in that mix.
Like, the Infestor being useful against Protoss as well. Because it's good against Terran, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, the instant it's like, oh, I'm going to fungal growth your Colossus. And the Colossus is like, oh, I'm going to kill everything you've made up to this point. It's like, all right, well, enjoy your 48 damage. Like,
super short range for the Neuroparasite, and inability to move makes it sort of unattractive.
Yeah, and plus you can just kill the guy really fast. Uh-oh, we have some mic wrestling going on in Sweden.
Okay.
And he's back. Yeah. Well, you know, since we've been going for almost 40 minutes right now, I did want to wrap things up with, I'm sure, what will be your favorite topic. The fact that the Thor build time was dropped from 75 to 60.
I guess I'm happy, but I didn't really feel like it took too long to build before.
Yeah, you're a very patient man.
We still haven't addressed so many things. We haven't addressed the HGH Invitational. We haven't addressed...
Yeah. Well, let's not wrap up then. Let's just keep talking, man. We'll talk about Thor's, and we'll talk about all the awesome tournaments coming up.
We haven't even touched the effect of the Marauder nerf, really. We talked about it a little bit, but not much.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, hey, I'm not going anywhere. Only thing I have waiting for me is a burned pizza.
Enticing, I'm sure.
But, I mean, okay. I still think the Siege Tank is awful. I still don't want to make Siege Tanks.
Well, Siege Tanks, I mean, against Terran, I don't mind them. They are still really strong once you get a good number of them.
Yeah.
Against Protoss, I really, 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 really do not like them. Against Zerg, they are okay. Against Protoss, they take forever. They don't actually kill Stalkers very well.
Yeah.
And unless you use them to sit on your ass and turtle all game, they are completely fucking useless.
You have a lot of anger about this.
They ruined mech. There's no real mineral sink. You have to make like marines or something, because Hellions do not have a secondary purpose. They kill light units and they die to everything else.
They're good meat shields.
Tanks, I guess. Yeah, they're good meat shields. But they don't have like when you invest all these minerals in vultures, you get a unit that has some limited anti armor, so to speak. It has the spider mine. It controls the map. It presents a threat to dragoons. And the damage is actually quite good against shields. For the Hellion, you do 8 damage or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
just 8.
And Blink catches up with you super easily. So
you can't even the map.
I mean, I'm sort of just... mech TVP is just...
It's just
if you sit and turtle to like 3 bases, you can move out with a maxed army that's really strong. But who the fuck wants to play like Flash? Like Flash plays like Flash does because he's a professional gamer and it's the best way to play Terran supporters right now. But we have a new game. We shouldn't make the current boring way of playing TDP
It's like, oh, I've been waiting for StarCraft 2 for 10 years. I can't wait to sit on my base and not attack. Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's something... If the game evolves into that eventually, that's unfortunate, but we should at least try to not... Just try to facilitate a more aggressive play style.
Yeah, I like... I love any game that favors aggression. That's why I like these destructible rocks all over the place. At the mineral patches, the aggressive player gets a chance to kill them off to have more expanding
and
opportunities
they
later.
They also fuck mech.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, I don't like them.
Well, what's your experience with this Marauder Concussive Shell upgrade? Are you trying to get it quickly, or do you have builds that avoid it?
I have basically mech'd almost exclusively, except for this 2-Rax Reaper build, which is like, I've been doing like 1-Rax... one Rax orbital command, and then I double gas on 15. I get the speed upgrade and 3 Reapers from 2 barracks, get a 3rd Rax, and this allows me to get Stim, Concussive Grenades, and even the Marine Shield upgrade. That's
really?
That's good.
You get every Tech Lab upgrade?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Basically, I think it's... Because if people go for Warpcade, Salvat, Sentry, they don't count Scout, so it's hard for them to determine exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you can sort of run around, kill their probes, they have to go back, they can't commit to pushing into your base.
And little does Protoss know you're doing everything, man.
Yeah. But I actually lost with this to someone who opened Void Ray. Because Void Ray
was
a kill. I went, I had one reactor, I had 2 barracks, I made marines from all of them. I had Stim, I had upgrades, with Void Ray, with Guardian, with Sentries as support. Marines die really, really quickly.
I really like this patch a lot. I think it created a lot of more interesting things, but it makes me still glad that we are in beta, with the potential of more changes to come down the road.
Yeah, I actually do like the patch as well. I think the Marauder nerf probably helps alleviate some of the early game cheese, like the, oh, I'm going to 9 racks outside your natural and go for a Marauder and you can't kill me because you can't
catch
me.
Yeah, you can't touch me.
Even though I think that was stoppable, it sort of made the game stupid. Because it was too hard, probably.
Yeah, and, you know, I personally don't have that much of an opinion on the concussive shell thing. I mean, I think it's good, definitely, but, I mean, a lot of the early stuff I was doing didn't revolve around relying on that concussive shell, on kiting those marauders. I had more, like, timing attacks in there, and I can still afford to get it and make the timing attack work. So, I don't make marauders in Terran vs. Terran.
Yeah, it's probably good.
Probably a blunder. Probably why it's like my worst matchup.
Well, I've been trying not to make my orders in China vs. Terran and had mixed results.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when people are like, oh, let's both go mech, it's fine. When one player is like, let's go only my orders, it's also fine because then he dies. But if someone is like, let's get my orders and then transition into mech, then you don't have any map control and then he has mech too and you can't really regain it either.
That's one thing I'm definitely going to be researching today, is just, like, good styles of Terran vs. Terran that good players are doing.
Yeah, me too. Because the games against Greshop really made me think. I think there's actually some room for Hellion usage, like, while you're
that's
checking.
That's interesting.
Like, yeah, if both players are going, if everyone starts going Factory, then they only have Marines to defend them, and then you can go, like, Marine Hellion push while taking to 4 or Banshee or whatever. I think it has some potential.
I'm still curious to see in a Terran vs. Terran a player go like mass Hellion and just 4, 5, 6 tanks, small number of tanks. So what happens is the Marauders don't kill the Hellions that fast. The Hellions kill all the Marines fast. And you're just left with, like, tanks and a bunch of Hellions versus some Marauders, which I think ends up being okay. That's something I want to try out, but the problem is getting to that critical number where they can't just dart right up to the tank and kill it.
Yeah. The thing is also, well, I guess it helps that they have to research the slowing grenades now, but...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's hard to go mass salience, I think. You don't have mines, you can't expand with mines to delay them. So you have to actually have enough Hellions to fight off his army or get siege tanks.
Yeah.
I think
we're just stressed and we need practice.
Yeah.
Are you up for another 12-hour session?
Nah.
Got him!
I think I'm going to sleep in 2 hours.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
I fell asleep at 3 p.m. for 1 or 2 hours. I don't really know. I think I woke up a couple of times and then instantly dozed off again.
Well, I mean, in other community news, we have more tournaments than we know what to do with. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I know you and I are both in the HDH Invitational 1.
Indeed.
So that one's pretty awesome. Has a $2,250 prize pool, which is
amazing.
Really sick, yeah. I mean, I'm doing the Hello Goodbye tournament casts on Friday and Saturday night. I don't really know when this podcast is getting posted, but I'm doing the semifinals in, I don't know, 7 hours or something like that. So that's pretty kick-ass. I love how much stuff that's going on.
How have we not talked about Smurfed against Hydra?
How is that possible?
I just realized.
Wow, yeah. I've been trying to get him to get me to cast that this whole time.
Yeah, and here we're talking about a really nice $2,500 tournament, and they are betting $10,000 on a single best of five.
Is that going through?
It is. Nazgul has already received the escrow.
No
the money in escrow.
Way.
Yeah.
And why have I not been contacted? Just say,
okay,
Dan, I need to stream this to the masses.
As you might remember, Hydra offered to play Smurfed best of five for $500, and Smurfed was like, I don't care about $500. I don't want to practice for that amount. Let's play for 5,000.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to play for 5,000. And then all the people that were flaming Hydra before were like, okay, I'll put up $1,000. I'll put up $1,000. Eventually had $5,000 in backing. So now they're playing for $5,000 each.
But why aren't they letting me cast? That's the issue.
Really?
Mm-mm, no one's contacted me. I check my inbox daily.
Need to apply some pressure here, I think.
Yeah.
I think they stipulated they didn't want to have casters, actually.
Well, I'm still doing the replays. Me and Chill are going to pump this up. Get on the hype machine.
It's amazing that I can't imagine something like this happening before the poker boom.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And I mean, about the player's play, a lot of people seem to not know who Smurfed is. Smurfed is one of the most famous StarCraft players of all time. That guy's a legend. He was
famous
and
notorious.
Yeah, I mean, he went to South Korea to be pro. He was on the Hexatron for a while. He was one of the first players who really pushed forward early expand styles in Protoss versus Zerg. He did.
Yeah, he had a really strong PvZ.
Yeah, just had vicious PvZ. And I believe it was in the Team Liquid Tour, Smurfed played Zerg the entire ladder period. And then when it came to the finals, he chose Protoss. And didn't he get, top four?
Didn't he beat Mondragon in the finals?
He may have won.
He did, because I remember he said he posted his, "Well, your money belongs to us," reference to the Vintage War scandal.
Oh, yeah! Oh, my God. Yeah, Smurf, he's good. I mean, he doesn't remain incredibly active. And I have actually spoken to him, on the phone. And he's just a very modest, mild-mannered guy. I mean, he's not, he's not some egomaniac. He's just I'm going to fucking kill everyone. $5,000 on the line. You know, he's just really just it's good to be talking to you. He's just very laid back and easygoing. He's just low profile. And it's so cool to see him in a high profile event against someone who I would not call low profile, Idra.
Oh, yeah. That's one way of putting Idra, yeah. He's not, not low profile. Very diplomatic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess $5,000 for Smurfed is probably not the same as $5,000 for Hydra.
Yeah.
Or $5,000 for me.
Yeah, or me. I really am in the mood to pay off some of that debt from my college days.
I mean, for those who don't know, Smurfed is quite successful, as far as I know, poker player.
Yeah.
don't know exactly how high, but I think it flies quite high stakes.
Yeah, so look, I just want to recap this event for anyone who's unfamiliar with it. Smuft and Idra, two phenomenal StarCraft 1 players, have challenged each other to a, it's either a best of 5 or a best of 7, some sort of match, for $5,000. And I am delighted to see that it might actually be going down.
It seems all set. I mean, all the money has been transferred.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, normally all this trash talking, it never leads anywhere, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you have this progress.
I know, seriously, we're a very progressive community, I think. Esports is exploding, and at the very least, we have one player who's going to be up 5,000 on the year.
Yeah. 7 years ago, it would have been like Nextel versus House.
Yeah, that's
one second.
Oh, a little bit more mic wrestling. It looks like Jinro might be back in a moment, just in time for us to close this podcast.
Okay, I'm back.
And he's back. All right. Well, Jinro, we've been going for 51 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. So I just wanted to say big thanks to... Oh, yeah, we love talking. It's that big Thor change that just motivated us to spew and spew.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to wrap this up. I don't know when this is going to be posted. I hope ASAP. Of course, it doesn't really matter because you're listening to it right now. But, you know, thanks so much for tuning in. And this is the TeamLiquid.net StarCraft 2 Beta Podcast. I am Sean Day9Plot, and with me is...
Jonathan FrozenArbiter / Jinro Walsh.
Awesome. You have such an awesome multi-part name.
Yeah.
And with that, we're done. So, hey, take it easy and see you later.